Okay, should we just pray again before we look at the scriptures together? Our Father, thank you so much for bringing us again here and for all that you have in store for us this day. And we do pray that by your Spirit you will just help us as we look at your word and help us particularly to recognise what you are saying to each one of us, we pray. Amen. Good, well, I hope that was helpful considering, what struck me is that when we're walking in the Spirit, we're all maybe doing completely different things, rather like these people here on Guildford High Street. Walking with different motives, different aims, different company, different questions, different background, etc. But we're all walking. And we're all here, walking as far as Guildford High Street is concerned, we're all going the same, we're in the same place. We're all to be walking in the Spirit, but actually how that works for each of us will be different at different times of the day, etc. So, just before we, this morning, this first session, we're going to look at walking a little bit more. We're going to be looking at the phrase, in the Spirit, and then we're going to look at Romans chapter 8 to finish off with. So that's sort of all to happen in the next half an hour, 40 minutes or so. But just before we do, just to get you thinking as well, just remember that the Bible talks a lot about other things other than walking, other ings, other movements or not. So, for example, sitting. Watchman Nee wrote a book some years ago called Sit, Walk, Stand, because in Ephesians it talks about sitting, it talks about walking, and it talks about standing. And actually, the place of the walking, you walk depending on how you sit. And we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. You can think a little bit more from that for yourselves. So a sitting, that's a position where you're not actually moving somewhere, but you are actually, it's where God has placed you. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places, Ephesians chapter 1. And other scriptures speak about a race that we need to run. So there's a running, which conveys urgency and discipline and grit, enthusiasm or whatever, depending on how fast you run. The scriptures speak about standing. We are to stand against. Standing speaks of resisting, opposing. It's a position which we take of firmness. When we're young, there is a stumbling that comes in. All right, and that's always lovely to see a father or a mother holding a child as it stumbles and then stopping it as it falls over, hopefully stopping it. So the Lord, when we're young in the faith, we do trip, we do fall. There is a scripture in the Psalms that says he keeps us from stumbling. But the Lord wants us to walk. How's your walk with the Lord? Is it kind of stop start? Is it stumbling? Are you learning to walk? Somebody who's learned to walk, on the whole, won't stumble. So, really to summarise what we looked at yesterday, walking implies movement, as we've been looking at this picture of Guildford High Street, companionship, it includes opportunities for conversation, direction in the short term, purpose, long term, the motive for why we walk, considering aspects of the journey along the way, but it's if you're with somebody, if you're walking with somebody, you're sharing ideas, reactions, humour, etc. So, a little bit more on walking. I gave you one definition of the Greek word in the New Testament. There are two other words which have a slightly different emphasis. The first one means to go on one's way, in the sense of actually leaving a place and moving on to another. I suppose it's underlining the direction thing, really. It indicates procedure or course. it may mark the end of the end of an event or a stage, as I've said, or the end of a conversation. So sometimes we read of Jesus when he'd finished that conversation, he then went his way. And that's that's this particular word that is used. If you want just to take one reference, I've got a few, but I won't just give you them all for the sake of time, but just to give you one reference, judge the little letter of Jude before Revelation, verses 16 and 18. Let me just read that to you, at least read one of them. The little letter of Jude. Trouble is... Right. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. Please notice that little phrase, because the word lusts we're going to look at a bit more later on. But walking, so it's sort of the sense of, you know, moving on from one lust to the next. And their mouths speaking great swelling words. And a little bit later on, the same sort of phrase that you read there. Jude verses 16 and 18. And the other word in the Greek that is used has the idea of keeping step. And it's used in particular with relationship to other people. So have a look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16. And it might be good if you just looked at... I'm going to look at a couple of verses. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to have to move to a different Bible. This one's pages aren't turning very well. Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes to the Philippians and says, "Nevertheless, to the degree we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule." let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. So there you have the idea of walking in a sense, it's not legalism exactly, but just walking according to certain principles, walking in a particular way. And he says, let us be of the same mind, and let's, you know, let us be of the same mind one towards another, with one another. So that's Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16. All right? And then Galatians chapter 5 was the other verse I wanted to look at. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25, which is actually on the sheet that I gave you yesterday. And we did look at this. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And this is the word that is used here for walking. But it then goes on to say, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So can you see, you know, Paul's saying, look, we live in the Spirit, we've been born again, the Spirit has given us life, but let us walk in a particular way, bearing in mind each other, and let's be very careful that we don't become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. All right, so it's very much to do with this relationship with other people. And of course, although we may... today be mainly thinking about our own individual walk with the Lord, that has of course implications on how we relate to each other and how we walk with one another, if and when and where that is all appropriate. The phrase in the Spirit then, I think the first question to ask is, what is the Spirit? Just be a little bit careful, just be aware that when you find in the Bible, in your version, whatever you read, Spirit, it may have a small s or it may have a capital S. Obviously, if it's a capital S, it means the Holy Spirit. But that's the opinion of the translators. Okay, so just bear in mind, when you see a small s, it may actually be referring to the Holy Spirit. When it's a large S, just at least say, is that really the Holy Spirit? Or is there another spirit that is being talked about? Okay? I hope I haven't sort of raised too many questions there, but just be a little bit careful.
So our spirit would always be lowercase.
Or if that's what the translators would be saying, yes, exactly that. And actually, if it's an angelic spirit or a demonic spirit, it would also be lowercase. But just sometimes, it's not always clear which is which. So, if it's our spirit, I mean, God has made us body, soul and spirit. I'm not going to cover the soul so much today. but we're body, soul, and spirit. And the spirit is basically the place of three things in the New Testament. It's the place, first of all, of fellowship with God. So, John chapter 4 and verse 23, Jesus says that we are to worship in spirit and in truth. Actually, that's a very good example of the kind of lack of clarity about this word spirit. I mean, we are to worship in spirit. That is to say, our worship is in the realm of our spirit. Okay, so our worship is not to be primarily led by, ruled by our soul, which is our mind and our emotions. I'm not saying that our worship needs to be emotionless or lacking in any intellectual, our intellectual course need to be engaged. But the thing is, our spirits need to be involved. That is the place of fellowship with God. But that's worship in spirit with a small s, but worship in spirit with a capital S. Our worship needs to be led by the Spirit of God. So that may be a kind of one example of, you know, actually, there's both there. It's our spirits that are to be involved, but it's the Holy Spirit as well.
Sorry, is the John 4:23 the Holy Spirit or our spirit?
I'm saying it's both. All right, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's where the ambiguity is there, really. I think it's both. Come to your own conclusions. So it's a place of fellowship with God. Secondly, and thank you for the questions, it's really good. Secondly, it's the place of the conscience. Jesus, again, John chapter 13 and verse 21. He was troubled in spirit. He was troubled in spirit. And I might come back to that once I've found it. I think it's partly because of the door being open, but I'm finding that the Bible I'm using is not turning the pages very easily, so I'm going to use a different one. So it's fine, leave it. John chapter 13 and verse 21, let me just have a look at that. It's a better version, this as well. Yes, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you shall betray me." So I've said it's the place of the conscience, but there's a realization in his spirit that somebody's going to betray him. And the third area that's the place that the spirit is the place of is intuition. So Mark chapter 2 and verse 8. Jesus perceived in his spirit the attitudes and the conversation that the Pharisees and the scribes were having. Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, "Why did you reason thus in your heart?" It's extraordinary, isn't it? Actually, I would say, to put it in the kinds of the 1 Corinthians 12 manifestation of the Spirit context, this is a word of knowledge. It's a revelation. The Lord Jesus knew what they were thinking in their hearts. And friends, therefore, when we walk in the Spirit, doing whatever we are doing, we're to have fellowship with the Lord as we do it, and all that that involves. We are to be aware that actually the Lord may speak to us in our consciences, something may trouble us, we may do something that actually the Lord is trying to say to us, actually don't go that way, don't go that place, don't say that. Alright, there's just an awareness of something that we just need to be aware of. And as we walk in the Spirit, the Lord can give us perception, revelation about, even about what somebody's thinking. I suppose really what I'm saying is that to walk in the Spirit is to walk in a spiritual or a heavenly dimension. We're seated with him in the heavenly places, and now the Lord wants us to be living our lives where the spiritual is what is ruling our body and our soul. Okay? Romans chapter 4 and verse 12. I mentioned two Old Testament characters yesterday, but here is another. And you don't find the phrase that Abraham walked with God in the Old Testament, but you do find it in the New. So Romans chapter 4 and verse 12. Speaking of Abraham, he is the father of circumcision to those who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised. Abraham walked in faith. He's the father of the faith. So walking in the Spirit is irrevocably linked to learning to walk by faith. And I'm bringing this to you because we're coming up to a definition of walking in the Spirit. Okay? It is the way to walk by faith. And all the other walking characteristics that we will have a look at some point, after the break, I think, all the other ways in which the Bible tells us we're to walk, like walking in the ways of God that we looked at yesterday. Essentially, walking in the Spirit, to walk by faith, is at the root of it all. It's the springboard for everything else. So, a bit of a definition then. To walk in the Spirit means, if it's to walk in faith, it means that we need to hear the Lord and to obey him. Without the hearing of the word of the Lord, there is no faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, walking in the Spirit it means that we hear and obey, hear and respond, if you like, to the word of the Lord, or to what the Spirit of God is saying to us. It's not a mystical experience. You know, I'm walking in the Spirit because I feel something. It's a response to the leading of the Spirit of God. Walking in the Spirit is not a mystical experience. It does not mean instant maturity. It means a fellowship with the Lord where we are in continual communion with him. And everything that we do is affected by him. He is involved with it. Okay? I hope that's sort of reasonably clear. So we're going to really move from there to looking at the outworking of this very practically as the day goes on. Turn to Romans chapter 8, please, and we'll finish with this today. Romans chapter 8, and the first four verses are on the sheet that I gave you yesterday. So these, we're just going to look at an overview of the first 14 verses of Romans 8, which are all to do with walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit involves a number of things. And if you don't manage to take notes with this, don't worry, because I'm going to give you a piece of paper after the break, which will have it all there. So, verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good? First thing about walking in the Spirit here is that there's no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. We'll come to walking after the flesh at some other point today. The law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. So if we're walking in the Spirit, secondly, we are free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life, by law it means the principle. Okay, the principle. I mean, the highway code is a written series of laws, rules, but it's meant to be principles by which you drive well, hopefully. The law of the Spirit of life in verse 2 is walking in the Spirit, That is the law, the Spirit of life. If you walk in the Spirit, you are living in such a way that there is life from the Lord. And that frees you from the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? It's the principle that because we have an old nature, that you have to sin. Okay, now this is not saying that if we walk in the Spirit we're going to be perfect, but what it is saying is that you don't have to obey sin. You don't have to give in to it. You don't have to give in to temptation. That is what it's saying. So walking in the Spirit isn't going to free you from temptation, but it's going to be the means by which you are going to be able to resist it. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're probably going to miss it and just give in to it. All right. Verse 3. For the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it's the way to righteousness. If you walk in the Spirit, you will live rightly before God. And I trust that's why every one of you are here, because you want to learn to do that. I think this is tremendous. This is nothing to do with legalism. It's nothing to do with setting impossibly high standards. This is God saying, look, if you walk with me, that's fine. You are going to be righteous. The question is, do you hunger and thirst after that righteousness? Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So to walk in the Spirit means that you set your mind, you attend to the things of the Spirit. Now, we have to attend to other things in life, so it's not saying that you do this exclusively. But it is saying, you know, what do you basically attend to? What preoccupies you? If you attend to the things of the Spirit of God, that is walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit involves giving attention to the things of God. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When it says carnally minded, it's the word flesh, right? It's exactly the same word that we find in verses 1 and 4. Okay? It means if you are minding your old sinful nature, which is what the flesh is, and we'll just come on to a bit of a clarification about that in another session. But if you are minding your old nature, if you're preoccupied with your sinful nature, it's going to produce death. You're not going to be able to live in the life in the way that God has pleased you, and you certainly won't have peace. But if you're walking in the Spirit, there'll be spiritual life, and there will be peace with it. Moving on, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Now friends, have you, this is not talking about the unbeliever, this is talking about the believer. You have a choice. You're either going to walk in the flesh or you're going to walk in the Spirit. If you are walking in the flesh, if that's where your focus is, you're going to be opposed to God. You'll find yourself being out of the will of God. You'll find that God will start to oppose you. You will not know his blessing. But if, verse 8, if you are in the Spirit, you will please God. You will please God. To walk in the Spirit is the way to life and peace and pleasing God. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So there are two things. Sometimes when the Scripture says we are in the Spirit, it means that the Spirit of God is within us, that we're born again. That's what this verse is saying here. But if we are in the flesh, it's saying we are living according to our sinful nature. When it says here, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anybody does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. So if the Spirit of God is in you, you have the Spirit of Christ. You are born again. You are in the Spirit. Now, walk in the Spirit. Give heed to the things of the Spirit. Mind the things of the Spirit. And if Christ is in you, verse 10, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. There it is. You don't have to give in to the flesh. You are not indebted to it. Not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. I mean, I don't know whether, when was the last time you went to, I was going to say an old people's home, or maybe you can think of a very elderly person who is a Christian, but they haven't got through on the things of the flesh in their youth. And when they're older, those fleshly things come back with a vengeance. They dominate. If you go to an old people's home, I mean, it's handbags at dawn. Really, sometimes. You know. Or Zimmer frames or whatever. But friends, I suppose this is the warning I want to give. You know, get through on some of these things now. Learn to set your mind on the things of the Lord now. Otherwise, if you don't get the victory with the Lord over these things now, they will come back to haunt you later on. Don't think that these things will come somehow go away. They won't. They'll always be there. And when we're older, and as it were, we're set in our ways, that's when these things will really dominate us. And it's wonderful, conversely, to see an older person who has learned to walk with the Lord throughout their lives, and there is a completely different fragrance about their lives, really. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. So verses 12 and 13, we don't have to give in to the flesh. And sorry, I think I missed out verse 13. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. So when the temptation comes, then we need to say, Lord, I'm going to put that deed to death. I'm not going to give in to it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, verse 14, these are the sons of God. You are a child of God by faith in Christ. God wants you to come into sonship, daughtership, a place of maturity where you've learned to walk with the Lord. Walking in the Spirit means that you are being led by the Spirit. And you'll find that in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 18 as well. Those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. So can I ask you, are you learning to be led by the Lord? Is he leading you? Are you learning to give heed to his voice? Are you learning to recognise his voice? Are you learning to allow him to speak to you through the scriptures? Are you recognising what the Lord is saying to you each day through the word? That's all that walking in the Spirit involves. It's not that you kind of, you know, have a big prayer time each time you go shopping and say, Lord, shall I go to Asda or Sainsbury's or Waitrose? It's not that. You know, you're walking with the Lord. It's fellowship with him. If the Lord wants you to go to Asda, God forbid, no. If the Lord wants you to go to Asda rather than Sainsbury's, for whatever reason, all right, as you're walking to Asda, if that's, you know, you say, now, Lord, I just have a real dispute in my heart about this. I mean, you may think I'm just being frivolous, but just occasionally it's happened. Certainly Fiona can say, no, Lord, should I buy this or that? And you know, a dispiece about something, or there's a particular thing, yeah, I think I to get that. So you buy that, then discover you've got about six people coming around for a meal. So it's there. It's this kind of thing where the Lord can direct you, even in the very mundane things. Be led by the Spirit. And although it's not here in Romans 8, it's there in Galatians 5. Walking in the Spirit is the way that the fruit of the Spirit then emerges from our lives. It grows. And it takes time. It's not, you know, these things are not learned overnight. But that's the direction that the Lord wants us to go in. I trust that is helpful. I trust that's clear. So where are you with all this? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you walking in the Spirit? Or are you kind of walking in the Spirit sometimes, or walking in the flesh at other times? Is it sort of hit and miss, stop and start? The Lord wants you to walk in the Spirit with him, to have that fellowship with him in every aspect of our lives. Yeah? Let's pray.